ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ नमो भगवते श्रीदक्षिणामूर्तिस्वरूपाय श्रीदयानन्दरूपाय परमगुरवे परमात्मने परब्रह्मणे सच्चिदानन्दरूपाय विश्वोत्पत्यादिहेतवे तापत्रयविनाशाय श्रीकृष्णाय वयम् नमः यस्माज्जातम् जगत्सर्वम् यस्मिन्नेव प्रलीयते येनेदम् धार्यते चैव तस्मै ज्ञानात्मने नमः கிருஷ்ணயஜுர்வேதியே தைத்திரியோபனிஷதி பிரதமோத்யாயஹ சீக்ஷாவல்லி நாம பிரதமோத்யாயஹ சீக்ஷாவல்யா ஏகாதஷ அனுவாக சமாப்தஹ. We have completed 11 அனுவாகாஸ் ஆஃப் தி சீக்ஷாவல்லி, தி ஃபர்ஸ்ட் சாப்டர் ஆஃப் தைத்திரிய உபனிஷத். The whole of Sikshavalli, the main topic of discussion is only karma. Karma, when you say, is the action. Karma forms subject matter of the Sikshavalli. So karma here implies the universal values, cultivation of virtues, the disciplines, all these go with the karma. So karma forms the main topic. It is very important for one to follow the way of life enjoined by the shastram. Vaidikaha dharma, sanatanaha dharma. The way of life is an eternal way of life, because the way of life involving the universal values, disciplines, is a very beautifully designed way of life. It cannot be improved. It cannot be made better. It's already well designed, non-improvably designed way of life. Simply following this way of life itself is enough. One places oneself, simply by following this way of life, one can place oneself in the right track, and through which he can travel comfortably, effortlessly, and definitely, doubtlessly, this way of life will enable a person accomplish the ultimate goal. Therefore, it is said to be the destination, maybe not a destination, like destination. You will not get lost anywhere. That is why this way of life, Sanatana Dharmaha, is said to be Rajamargamu, Chakkani Rajamargamu. So to enable a person follow this way of life, the dharmas are emphasized. That is how one can become the gross-minded, can become subtle-minded. The inadequately civilized can become adequately civilized. The unrefined minded can become refined minded. So that in due course of time, he will be subtle enough, sharp enough, steady enough to grasp the teaching. Not just to grasp the teaching, even to dwell upon the teaching, to assimilate the teaching. So that to enjoy the benefit of the knowledge a person attains. Otherwise, assimilation, ascertainment of the teaching is not possible. Attainment of moksha is also not possible. Therefore, karma is discussed with the given purpose in the Karmakanda, in the Sikshavalli, though it forms the part of the Upanishad. You're supposed to be teaching only the, supposed to be imparting only the knowledge of Brahma. The very word Upanishad means Brahma Vidya, knowledge of the absolute reality. It does not need to include any karma, the topic of karma at all. Still, the Taittiriya Upanishad, before presenting the important, the real topic of subject matter of Brahma, the second chapter, Brahmanandavalli, the whole section, Sikshavalli, is dedicated for karma, simply to emphasize the importance of following the disciplines and values. In order to place oneself in the right track, ultimately to become eligible to attain the absolute end. I want you to remember this specific verse before we enter into today's class. It's not something new. You might have heard from me many other occasions. Some of you might have heard. Some of you might have heard elsewhere also. Very simple kindergarten verse. Very important to understand in this context. What is that verse? Janmana jayate shudraha. Karmana dvijaha uchyate. Dvija uchyate. Veda paathena viprasyat. Brahmano brahma vedanat. Karmana jayate shudraha. Janmana jayate shudraha. Janmana jayate shudraha. Karmana dvija uchyate. Veda paathena viprasyat. Brahmano brahma vedanat. So if you take this verse, don't think it's irrelevant. It's very relevant. If we're going to see the unfoldment of the Bhashyam, we're going to see the Shankara Bhagavatpada's commentary, where he is going to establish Jnanam itself being Mokshaha. Already we know Jnanam is the Sadhanam, Mokshaha is the Sadhyaha. Between Jnanam and Moksha, there is Sadhana Sadhya Sambandha. The means and end relationship. Sadhana Sadhya Sambandha. Moksha is Sadhyaha. End to be accomplished. And Jnanam is the Sadhanam means. We know this, we know all this Sadhana Sadhya Sambandha. So living life of karma yoga is the sadhanam for antahkarna shuddhihi and aishchalyam, which is antahkarna shuddhihi is the sadhyam, sadhya, the end. Shravanam is the sadhanam and jnanam is the sadhyam. Maranam is the sadhanam. We can say shravanam is the sadhanam. Ajnana nivrittihi is the sadhya. Listening to unfoldment of the shastram is the sadhana means resolution of ignorance is the end. Ajnana nivrittihi. Mananam is the sadhanam. Reflecting upon what has been understood through shravanam is mananam, the sadhanam. And the end to be accomplished by mananam is what? Samshaya nivrittihi. Resolution of doubts and what has been heard and understood. Similarly, finally, nididhyasanam is the sadhanam, means and assimilation, ascertainment of the doubt-free knowledge is the sadhyam. And this doubt-free ascertainment of the knowledge is his sadhanam. And moksha is the sadhya. In fact, We have sadhanam, sadhyam, sadhanam, sadhyam means an end. But actually speaking, this ascertainment of what has been understood, doubt, ascertainment of the doubt-free knowledge itself is moksha. Even though we say jnanam is the sadhanam, moksha is the sadhya, jnanam and moksha are identical. Sadhanam and sadhyam are identical. Sadhanam itself becomes sadhyam. They're not two. There's no, really speaking, difference. They're identical. And there's no greater accomplishment than this moksha. That's why we call it paramapurushartha. In fact, attainment of moksha, even though we, for want of expression we say, is nothing but discovering the moksha which is already there as the surupam of the reality. The reality obtaining as one's own self. Reality is all pervasive. Therefore, reality is available for recognition as one's own surupam. The knowledge of one's own self itself is what? Discovery of freedom. Discovering one's own self in terms of essential nature itself is discovery of freedom. Atma jnanam is moksha jnanam. Moksha jnanam is moksha praptihi. Knowing the moksha is, knowing the freedom which is already there is attainment of moksha. That is why it's always said, siddhasya sadhyam, accomplishment of the already accomplished. Moksha is already there. Accomplishing the already accomplished is moksha through discovery. So which implies a person being absolutely mature. Absolutely mature. Paripurnamataya pakkuvan. So jnani is an absolutely mature person. If a person is absolutely mature, then he is free. This lack of maturity, which contributes for bondage. In order to become absolutely mature, one has to become adequately mature. An immature person, totally immature person, cannot become absolutely mature person overnight. He has to gradually become adequately mature in order to become absolutely mature. That is why this verse states, why Upanishad discusses karma as an important topic in the Siksha Valli when it's supposed to be teaching only Brahma Vidya. The reason is understood from this verse. Janmana Jayate Shudraha. By birth, every human being is a Shudraha. Whether by birth a person is Shudraha, Kshatriya, Vaishya or Brahmanaha. Whatever his inclinations are, whatever the actions are intended to do, doesn't matter. By birth, every human being is a Shudraha. According to this verse, Shudraha is the one who does not know what is right and what is wrong. One who is not only one who does not know what is right and what is wrong, one is not capable of understanding what is right and what is wrong. One cannot be taught what is right and what is wrong. Such a stage, a human being in such a stage is called Shudraha. So who can be a Shudraha? Any child below 7 years old. Any child below 7 years old is a Shudraha. Why? The child does not know what is right and what is wrong. And the child cannot understand what is right and what is wrong, cannot be taught also. Because not in a position to listen to somebody, understand and follow. That is why until that age, maybe 6 years, the child needs to be looked after completely. Should I be left alone at all? Nishudra. Oh, this is fire, don't touch. If you can't tell a child. Child cannot understand what you are teaching. He'll go and touch. Oh, this is lizard, will bite you. Don't go. It's not good to touch. Child does not know. If you see something, you'll run after it to catch. And our babysitting grandchildren also must be knowing very well. That is why you always need to look after children. They're all now, that's God. That is the stage. Every human child is a Shudraha. So that child who has no Viveka at all, raw, completely raw-headed, totally immature child, totally immature, absolutely immature, child is Shudraha. And the Shastram allows, Veda Shastram sanctions such a child of that's the human being of that stage, a child, to be absolutely immature. But the child becomes 6-7 years old, and when he or she is able to listen to the parents or elders, and he is able to receive what its parents are saying, then the child is able to follow at least instructions of the parents. Sit here, don't get up and go, okay, sit. That you can't command. The nice, polite, loving words, if you tell them, I always, Swami used to say this, soaking the child in love. Soaking the child in love. Affectionately, very carefully, softly when you tell a child, and then the child should feel emotionally 100% comfortable. The child will listen. The child does not know what is right, what is wrong even then. But the child is capable of listening. As a Shudra, child is not capable of listening. At this stage, child is capable of listening and following the instructions of the elders. Because the child is instructed with all love and affection. Therefore, the child listens and does the right, does not do the wrong. And purely the child's behavior is based on the instructions of elders. Parents at home. So in Vedic society, all elders are supposed to be loving and kind, affectionate to children. Always any instruction must be given with a lot of expression of love. So that they listen. Such children who do the right, who do not do the wrong, in keeping the instructions, are said to be mature. Why mature? From the stage of being a Shudra, now they have moved on to the stage of Dvijaha. They mature now. The stage of not being able to understand anything, any instruction. They move to the stage of being able to understand the instructions. And not only understanding instructions, following the instructions also. That stage, shifting from this one stage to other stage of not being able to listen and understand to the stage of being able to listen and understand. That shift in the stage is what is said to be becoming mature. Such children are mature children. Therefore, this from becoming mature from being totally immature is like a second birth, from being totally immature, becoming mature is like a second birth. That's why, and those children, mature children, are said to be dvijaha. Dvijaha. Dvijaha means, ja means jayate, is born. Dvi stands for second. So twice born, dvijaha. So that's why any brahmana is said to be twice born. But here, dvijaha, who is a dvijaha? A mature individual is dvijaha. Who is a mature individual? Look at this. The person who does the right, who does not do the wrong, not, the child does not know what is right and what is wrong. But does the right, does not do the wrong, in keeping with instructions of the elders and others, parents, teachers, then the child is dvijaha. That's why it said karmana dvija uchyate. But here the word karma means upanayana karma, yajna upavita karma. The child becomes 6-7 year old, then 7 year old, after 7, the child is initiated into the study of the Shastram. For which the first child is initiated into the Gayatri Mantra by the father himself. And this is a great important samskara, the ritual. It is done to initiate the child into the study of the Veda Shastram by introducing him to the Gayatri Mantra. Only after this ritual he is eligible to study the Veda Shastram. Until then he is not eligible, unless and until the person is initiated into the Gayatri Mantra Japa, he is not eligible to study the Veda. So even this Upayana Karma cannot be done before 7 year old, because the child cannot understand anything. Then after this karma, the father who initiates a child into the Gayatri Mantra himself teaches, okay, what all he should do. The Sandhya Vandanam, Gayatri Japa, etc. Slowly the parents will teach. Samidhadhanadi karmas. And the child listens and understands and does. Not only this, even in day-to-day life, the child follows the instructions of the elders. Therefore, he is called a dvijaha, mature. So one has to become, from being immature, one has to become mature. Then, as a dvijaha, the human child does not know why he should follow dharma, why he should do the right, why he should not do the wrong. He knows the values, but he does not know the value of values. He understands the value of values only when he is exposed to the proper Shastra study, when he discovers the Purushartha, being Moksha. He knows the value of Moksha, when he understands the value of Jnanam, when he becomes committed to the pursuit of Jnanam, when he comes to know the importance of being qualified for the attainment of Jnanam. Then, in order to be qualified in terms of having man antahkarna shuddhi, mental purification, mental steadiness, one has to choicelessly live a life of values. That is how one can avoid becoming a person of split personality. Very important to avoid all conflicts, to have intellectual sharpness, emotional stability. One has to choicelessly live strictly a life of universal values. He understands the importance, the necessity of dharma, living a life of values. So knowing the value of values, when a person strictly follows dharma, when he does the right, he avoids the wrong. Such a person is more mature. So Shastri, this verse says, Veda Pathena Viprahasyat. Veda Pathena Vipraha Bhavati Viprahasyat. Who is Vipraha? Vipraha is also a word which means a Brahmana. Who is a Brahmana again? The person whoever lives strictly a life of dharma, values, knowing the value of dharma, who does the right, who does not, who refrains from the wrong. Which means I always put this Swamiji's language, one who surrenders his will to Bhagavan in the form of dharma, one whose actions are not dictated by his likes and dislikes, one whose actions are governed by his knowledge of right and wrong, because he has purushartha nischaya, he is committed to the pursuit of jnana. Such a person is vipraha. When does a person, from being a dvija, and he becomes vipraha. So one vipraha is a more mature person. More mature. So the absolutely immature becomes mature, and the mature person should become more mature. So more mature is vipraha. That is possible when he understands the value of dharma through shastra study. Veda pathena viprasyat. Then knowing the value of dharma, when he strictly lives a life of dharma, does the right, refrains from the wrong, in due course of time, of course, being given to study of the shastram, enjoys the benefit of the study of the shastram, he attains jnanam. Not only has attains jnanam, he attains doubt-free jnanam. Not only a doubt-free jnanam, he has the assimilated, ascertained doubt-free knowledge. Such a person of ascertained doubt-free knowledge is said to be Brahmanaha. Brahma Vedanat Brahmanaha. Here people say, one who knows Veda, the knower of Veda, Brahma means Veda also. Knower of Veda is Brahmanaha. But here, the knower of absolute reality is Brahmanaha. The two meanings, the knower of Veda, means the knower of Veda is one who knows the Veda mantras along with their meanings. It's a Brahmanaha. Brahma Vedanat Brahmanaha. Not only knower of the Veda Shastram with its meanings, but knower of the absolute reality, Brahma. Brahma Jnani. And he is the Brahmanaha. He is the most mature. So it is Jnanam. It is the knowledge of the absolute reality. It is the knowledge of the Swarupam of essential nature of oneself. It is the knowledge of the content of Aham. Makes a person absolutely mature. One cannot become more mature than a jnani. That is the height of jnana. That is the height of maturity. This is how, from being immature, one has to become mature, more mature, and the most mature. It is jnanam which alone makes a person absolutely mature. Absolutely mature person is the one who is absolutely free from all miseries. Panditaha. Okay. Panditaha na anushochanti. It means this jnani, the most mature person, is the Brahmanaha. Therefore, maturity, this mental refinement happens gradually. That's why The mental refinement is possible only if this life itself is lived carefully. It does not mean one has to overstrain. Just follow. That is why Shastram, how should I live my life? I do not know. I do not know how I should live my life in this world. We are so, we are really dinaha. Dinaha means what? We all deserve pity. We all deserve miti. I mean, mercy. That's why Shruti is very kind. And Shruti teaches us this way of life. Follow this. You cannot give a newborn child some food and make him overnight, okay, big man. Physical growth needs time. Gradually. Okay. Start with milk. And it is solid. And then he will take over. And becomes mature. Physical growth takes time. And what can we talk of the subtle, inexplicably subtlest material mind? The maturity takes time. And for that is possible only if we live a disciplined life. Only if we follow this dharma. Otherwise, maturity is impossible. Mental refinement will not be possible at all unless and until we strictly live a disciplined life of values. Therefore, disciplines are important for accomplishing the absolute. One should not take them for granted. Therefore, Upanishad discusses the topic of karma in the whole of Sikshavalli. Just for us to taste how the Veda Shastram teaches its way of life. We don't really study the whole Veda. It's not possible also for us to study the whole Veda. From Sikshavalli we can understand this is the way of life Shastram teaches, emphasizing dharma. And Bhagavan Krishna elaborates it in Karma Yoga in the Bhagavad Gita. Anyway, therefore, this is discussed. Just because the Sikshavalli, whole section discusses karma, the Vedarthavadinaha, a group of people known as Vedarthavadinaha, always said to be Puramimamsakaha, otherwise known as Karmakandinaha, are very happy. They have their own views. Some of the view, jnanam is not at all required for the attainment of moksha. Karma itself enough to attain moksha. They have such view. Because Upanishad itself emphasizes karma. Therefore, here, after completing his commentary on 11th Anuvaka, Shankara Bhagavatpada specifically presents the discussion here in his commentary, where he analyzes the nature of the mokshaha. It may sound for us initially as if it is the discussion useful for mere, it's a mere academic exercise. It may sound like that, but really speaking, for every serious spiritual aspirant, seeker, it's very important to understand this subject matter here, what is discussed here. How does Shankara Bhagavatpada present his analysis of the nature of knowledge, nature of moksha? We'll see here. That's why the bhasham which he presents before we conclude this Sikshavalli is said to be ಶ್ರೇಯಸ್ ಸಾಧನ ವಿಚಾರ. We have one more anuvakaha before entering into the Brahmananda Valli. We have 12th anuvakaha also. The 12th anuvaka, same Shanti Mantra, Shanno Mitra Shambarunaha, is again presented with the slight changes, which itself, Shanti Mantra itself, forms the content of the 12th Anuvaka, which is the final Anuvaka of the Sikshavalli. But before concluding with that Shanti Pata, Shanti Mantra, he presents this discussion. Shreyas Sadhana Vicharaha. Vicharaha means enquiry. Enquiry into the nature of knowledge as means of attainment of moksha, the absolute good known as Shreyas. Shreyaha is a compound word. Shreyasaha Sadhana Vicharaha. Shreyasaha Sadhanasya Vicharaha. Shreyas Sadhana Vicharaha. Shashti Tatpurusha Samasaha. Enquiry into the means of attainment of moksha. Enquiry into the nature of knowledge as the means of attainment of moksha. That's why moksha sadhana vicharaha, shreyasaha sadhana vicharaha is moksha sadhana vicharaha. Okay. Again, whenever commentary is written on any Upanishad, initially Shankara Bhagavatpada presents this bhashyam, his commentary known as Sambandha Bhashyam. We have Avatarika Bhashyam, we have Sambandha Bhashyam also. What is Sambandha Bhashyam? Sambandha means connection, relationship. The commentary in which, the commentary on, the introductory commentary in which the connection, the relationship between karma and jnanam, and relationship between the karma and moksha, and jnanam and moksha, is discussed. It means the role of karma in the attainment of moksha, the role of jnanam in the attainment of moksha, form the subject matter of the Sambandha Bhashyam. Generally, this Bhashyam is presented in the very beginning of the Upanishad, before in beginning study of the Upanishad. In the introduction, as introductory Bhashyam, Sambandha Bhashyam is always presented. Here also we had that Bhashyam initially. But now, again, before entering into the actual Upanishadic teaching, Shankara Bhagavatpada, again he discusses this topic. The role of action in the attainment of moksha. The role of jnanam, the attainment of moksha. So that he makes it very clear. Moksha is something which is already there. As a very swarupam, inseparable intrinsic nature of everything one's own self. Therefore, it cannot be attained. It has to be discovered. For jnanam itself is enough. Jnanam independently serves as a means of attainment of moksha. Of course, karma has its own role. Karma, laukikam or vaidikam, mundane or sacred. All activities, when performed in conformity with dharma, definitely contribute for mental refinement required for the ascertainment of the teaching. So karma also becomes, when performed as a discipline, as a yoga, it serves as an indirect means of attainment of moksha, by contributing for mental preparation required for the attainment of jnanam. This is the teaching, but he wants to really clarify that people are of different views, and those views are fallacious. There are logical loopholes in their views. So it will strengthen our commitment to the pursuit of jnanam. And it also enhances our clarity. It will really make us think correctly. It converts the gross mind to a subtle mind. The possibility of seeing things differently. Therefore, he says, what he says we're going to see here. Again, accomplishment of anything, achievement of anything is always possible only if we do something, if we make efforts, if we strain. So only with strain, only by effort, only by doing something, we can achieve something. That is the general rule, niyamaha, samanya niyama. That is only within the realm of the material world. Of course, prayatnena vina, na kimapi na siddhyati, shramena vina kimapi na siddhyati. Without shramaha, without prayatnaha, nothing happens. Nothing becomes accomplished. So, shramaha, prayatna, effort and strain involves involvement in appropriate activity. Therefore, action is a must to achieve anything within the realm of the material world. Therefore, that influence, such understanding, also paves way for thinking that knowledge alone is not enough for the attainment of moksha. Even to attain moksha, we have to do something. Therefore, here we have the people known as Vedarthavadinaha, Karmakandinaha, and whose view Shankara Bhagavatpada presents in his commentary, himself presenting their views as Purapakshavada, and he himself answering, pointing out the loopholes, logical loopholes, he himself refutes their views. Thereby he establishes what needs to be clarified. Okay. How does he present? The Karmakandis have their views. The karma, the Vaidikam karma, performed Vaidikam karma itself independently helps a person attain moksha. This is one view, first view of a Purvapakshi, Karmakandi. Kevalat karmanaha mokshaha. Kevalat karmanaha mokshaha. Or kevala karmanaha mokshaha. So moksha rises from a mere performance of rituals. Or moksha is attainable as a result of only performance of actions. Vaidikam va laukikam. Performance of actions itself is enough to attain moksha. That is the first view. Then, second view they have is, attainment of the knowledge. Knowledge of essential oneness of the individual and the total. Attainment of knowledge of the essential oneness of macrocosmic beings. Itself serves as the means of attainment of moksha. It is not his Purvapakshi's view. This is another view, second view. He himself presents, which is the, what is the nature of moksha? What is that which serves as a means of attainment of moksha? Then, thirdly, okay, so mere karma becomes a means of attainment of moksha. Or mere knowledge becomes attainment of, means of attainment of moksha. Or, third view is what? Karma combined with the moksha. Combined with the jnanam. Karma combined with the jnanam. Jnanam combined with the moksha serves as a means of attainment of moksha. Mere karma, mere jnanam, and third view is combination of karma and jnanam. Is said to be jnana karma samuchayaha. Kevala karmanaha mokshaha. Kevalat or kevala kevalena jnanena mokshaha. Or jnana jnanasya karmanasa samuchayena mokshaha. Jnana karma samuchayena mokshaha. Moksha attainable by combining karma with the jnanam. Jnanam with karma is a combination. The three main things he presents. But again, when you say combination, combining karma with the jnanam, that again he elaborates differently. How? Between karma and the jnanam, which should be dominant? Which is of more importance? Greater importance attaining moksha. If you say knowledge and karma should be combined, means combination of karma and jnanam serves as a means of attainment of moksha, means which should become important, which should be dominant. Therefore, there again, the three views of a Karmakandi. If karma is important, jnanam has only secondary importance. This is in this samuchaya, in this combination. If karma enjoys more importance, jnanam only has secondary importance, then that view is what? கர்ம பிரதான பிரதான சமுச்சய கர்ம பிரதான சமுச்சய இஸ் ஒன் வாத. கர்ம பிரதான ஞான கர்ம சமுச்சய வாத. கர்ம பிரதான ஞான கர்ம சமுச்சய வாத. The view of the combination of karma with the jnanam, where karma is of more greater importance than jnanam. This is the second view. This is another view. What's another view? Another view is jnanam still is a combination. Mere knowledge cannot give moksha according to them. Jnanam is important and karma should be combined with the jnanam. So karma has secondary importance. Still, it is also a samuchaya vadaha. So the people of the second view, second means other view, they say jnana pradhana ஞான கர்ம சமுச்சயவாத. சோ கர்ம பிரதான ஞான கர்ம சமுச்சயவாத. ஃபர்ஸ்ட் விசவிசா கர்ம பிரதான ஞான கர்ம சமுச்சயவாத. தென் வி ஹாவ் ஞான பிரதான ஞான கர்ம சமுச்சயவாத. சி கர்ம காண்ட் இஸ் ஆல் ஆஃப் தம் ஆர் ஆஃப் ஸ்ட்ராங் வியூ that mere knowledge cannot be the means of attainment of moksha. It must be combined with the karma. But again, there's slight difference. Some are of the view, no, karma is more important than jnanam. And some are of the view, jnanam is more important than karma. Therefore, we have these vadas. Karma pradhana jnana karma samuchaya vadaha. Then karma pradhana jnana karma samuchaya vadaha. Then there are some people, now both karma and jnana are equally important. Equally important. It is not that karma is more important or jnana is more important. No, karma and jnana both are equally important. Both must be combined. And such vadaha is said to be கர்ம ஜான உபய பிரதான ஞான கர்ம சமுச்சயவாத. உபயப்பிரதான அசமப்பிரதான ஞான கர்ம சமுச்சயவாத. இஸ் இட் கிளியர் நவ்? இட் மேக் இட் அகெய்ன் கிளியர். Jnanam is attainable as a result of mere karma. View number one. View number two. Sorry. Moksha is attainable as a result of moksha is attainable as a result of mere performance of actions, rituals. View number one. Second view. Moksha is attainable as a result of mere jnanam. This is not Purupakshi's view, but he is going to discuss the topic here. The third view is what? Moksha is attainable only by attaining jnanam, combining it with action, rituals. So, jnana karma samuchaya vadaha. The jnana karma samuchaya vadaha we see, understand. Karma pradhana jnana karma samuchaya vadaha. Jnana pradhana jnana karma samuchaya vadaha. Karma jnana ubhaya pradhana samapradhana jnana karma samuchaya vadaha. Of this, we see now five, six views. Only one view is Shankara. One view is the Shastra's vision, Shankara Gurupada's vision, Parampara vision is one. The rest are Karmakandi's views, the five. Kevalat karmanaha mokshaha, jnana karma samuchayena mokshaha, and jnana karma samuchaya, again you understood three. So five views are Karmakandi's views. Kevala jnanena mokshaha is the sampradaya, Shastra's vision, which is Shankara Bhagavatpada's vision. Okay. So with this understanding, let us enter into the Bhashyam now. Atra etat chintyate. We break it. Atra etat chintyate. Etat chintyate. This is discussed. This is inquired into by all of us. So Shankara Bhagavatpada says, okay, it is inquired into. This is inquired means where? Inquired where? Atra means here. Here means what? In this Sikshava, in this section where karma forms the important subject. The whole section, karma forms the important subject matter. Therefore, the context where this inquiry is presented is the context of karma. Therefore, atra means in this context of karma, the inquiry is presented. It is inquired into. Okay. What is this inquiry for? What is atra vicharaha? Atra chintyate. Means vicharaha kriyate. Kimartam vicharaha. It is kimartam chintyate. Kimartam vicharaha kriyate. What is the purpose of this inquiry? It is saying Vidya karmanoho vivekartham. Vidya karmanoho vivekartham chintyate. Vicharaha kriyate. Enquiry is made for what? Vivekartham. For the purpose of vivekaha. What is vivekaha? Discriminative knowledge. For the purpose of discriminative knowledge of the karma and jnanam, vidya, jnanam, karma. Jnanasya avashyakaha kaha moksha praptau. How jnanam is important in attaining moksha. What exactly does the jnanam do in attaining moksha? And how karma serves as an indirect means of attainment of moksha? This we have to understand. Therefore, in order to have the discriminative knowledge of the role of knowledge and karma, this inquiry is presented. Vidya karmanoho vivekartham vicharaha kriyate. Chintyate means vicharaha kriyate. Okay. How vichara is kriyate? How the inquiry is made now? He is present here. Kim karma bhyaha eva kevale bhyaha param shreyaha. This is the view number one. Okay. these different the views of Vedarthavadinaha Karmakandinaha is taken for analysis. Ultimately, for having the purpose of discriminative understanding of the role of karma and role of jnanam, attainment of in attaining moksha. Okay. What the first view? Kim karma bhyaha eva kevale bhyaha param sheyaha is a tag. Param shreyaha means what? Absolute good. The word shreyas, the sakarantra pusakalinga shabda, always means good. That is why in Bhagavad Gita also, Bhagavan Krishna, even in Arjuna's words, we come across this, Vyasacharya used his term shreyas there. Nahi prapashyami. He says that, Karpanya doshopagata swabhavaha prichamitvam dharma sammodha chetaha yachreyasyat yate shreyaha syat. There Vyasacharya uses the word shreyaha meaning absolute good. Okay, because and here also Shankara Bhagavatpada uses the same term for moksha. So shreyas means good. Anything actively good is shreyas. Param shreyaha means absolute good. Param shreyaha. So shreyaha visarga, but it's not a masculine gender word. Therefore not paraha shreyaha, param shreyaha. Param shreyas. Therefore param shreyaha. Param shreyaha is absolute good, which is jnanam, which itself is mokshaha. We know why param shreyaha, isn't it? Param shreyaha mokshaha kevalebhyaha karmabhyaha eva kim. Does this absolute good in terms of moksha rise from mere actions? What does it mean? Kevalam karma. Kevalani karmani. Fifth case, kevalebhyaha karmabhyaha. Why fifth case is used? Because karma is a hetu for the result. Cause for the result. Therefore, fifth case is used. You can say, kevalebhyaha karmabhyaha kim param shreyaha. Is moksha attainable as a result of mere performance of rituals? This is the first view. Okay. Moksha is attainable as a result of mere performance of rituals. Kevalebhyaha karmabhyaha param shreyaha. This is view number one. Second, uta or vidyasavyapekshebhyaha. Vidyasavyapekshebhyaha. Okay. So, savyapeksham. Savyapeksham means combined. Vidyasavyapeksham karma. Means what? Karma combined with knowledge. Vidyaya saha. Vidyaya sahitam karma is vidya savyapeksham karma. And vidya savyapekshebhyaha karmabhyaha param shreyaha. We have to make a complete sentence. Vidya savyapekshebhyaha karmabhyaha param shreyaha. This is the second view. So moksha is attainable as a result of karma combined with knowledge. This is view number two. The jnana samuchaya vada. Then, ahosvid. Ahosvid means what? Ahosvid is an indeclinable word. Or else, ahosvit, or else. Vidya karma bhyam samhata bhyam. Third view. Vidya karma bhyam samhata bhyam. Samhata means what? Equally. Equally combined is samhata. Vidya karma bhyam samhata bhyam. Paramshayaha. Our moksha is attainable as a result of karma, as a result of combination of karma and jnanam equally. Is moksha attainable as a result of combination of, equal combination of karma and jnanam? No. Vidyaya va karma apekshe apekshayaha. Or vidyaya vidyayaha va karma apekshayaha. Or va means or, does moksha rise from knowledge combined with karma? So you have to see here. Vidyayaha paramshreyaha. How? Karma apekshayaha vidyayaha mokshaha. Does knowledge rise from, does moksha rise from paramshreyaha? Does paramshreyaha mokshaha rise from knowledge combined with karma? Uta or kevalayaha eva vidyayaha, or does moksha rise from mere knowledge? Iti. This is how the analysis is going to be. Enquiry into the nature of the means of knowledge is going to be in the form of analyzing and refuting the views of Karmakandis and establishing the final view of Shankaracharya. What is kevalayaha vidyayaha eva param shreyaha? I'll repeat this here again. Kim kevalebhyaha karmabhyaha eva param shreyaha. Kevalebhyaha karmabhyaha eva param shreyaha. Moksha is attainable as a result of mere performance of rituals. Jnanam is not at all required. Second, vidya savyapekshebhyaha karmabhyaha param shreyaha. Moksha rises from actions combined with jnanam. Which means karma pradhana jnana karma samuchyavada. This is ahosvith, or else vidya karma bhyam samhata bhyam param shreyaha. Our moksha is attainable as a result of equal combination of karma and jnanam. Then vidyayaha va karma apekshayaha param shreyaha. Or does moksha rise from knowledge having the support of karma? Uta kevalayaha eva vidyayaha paramshayaha. Or knowledge rises, sorry, moksha rises from knowledge. Moksha is attained a result of jnanam, mere knowledge. Independently. Knowledge independently itself serves as a means of attainment of moksha. This is another view. These are the discussions. So Shankara Bhagavatpada, he says what he is going to present in his commentary. Atra etat vichintyate. Etat chintyate. This is what is going to be anchored into in this commentary. We are going to see our own view. What it? Kevalayaha vidyayahayeva paramshayaha. Kevalayaha vidyayahayeva paramshayaha. Means what? Kevala vidyayahayeva paramshayaha. This is the Shankara Bhagavatpada's vision. It's not a view. Why I say this? Other people, karmakandis have their view, not vision. Shankara Bhagavatpada's view is not a view, it's a vision. What is that? It is Shastra's vision. It's not a view. Vision is of the fact. What is the fact? The fact which can be verified. A verifiable is fact. Non-verifiable is a matter for belief. Okay? Refutable is what? Logically, views which cannot stand scrutiny, which cannot be logically established, which deserve to be refuted. Other views. Are they all the views? So here, Shankara Bhagavatpada is the vision. Kevalayaha vidyayaha eva mokshaha. This also is going to discuss and help us understand this. And he is going to show the fallacies and the thinking of the karmakandis, where they have different views. Five views we saw. Moksha is attainable as a result of mere action. No knowledge is required at all. That's one view. Or next view, moksha can be attained as a result of knowledge combined with karma. And moksha can be attained as a result of combination of jnana with the karma, where karma is important. Karma pradhana jnana karma samuchyavada visa. The another view. Jnanam is the pradhanam. So jnana pradhana jnana karma samuchyavadaha. It's another view. What is that? Three views. Karmakandi, who is of the view of combining karma with the jnanam, has three different views. According to one view, karma becomes predominant. Karma is more important than jnanam. It's called karma pradhana jnana karma samuchyavadaha. Another view is jnanam is important. If jnana pradhana jnana karma samuchyavadaha. This is another view. Now both are equally important. Therefore, equal combination of jnanam and karma serve as a means of attainment of moksha. Therefore, ubhaya jnana karma pradhana samuchyavadaha. So all these views of five views of Karmakandi, one vision of Shankara Bhagavatpada, all are going to be anchored into in this Bhashyam. Is it clear? Okay. The word Paramshaya he does not repeat. Only once he says, we have to understand. So, the Purapakshi is yet to come. Now, Purapakshi comes. What the first view? See that now. Tatra kevale bhyaha karma bhyaha eva param shreyaha syat. Allowed to use the word param shreya, so it does not forget it. Okay. Kevale bhyaha karma bhyaha eva syat. Let us add moksha. Okay, or param shreya. Moksha kevalebhyah karmabhyah eva syat. So tatra. Tatra means what? Of all those different views, the one view is what? Kevalebhyah karmabhyah eva syat. Moksha is attainable as a result of mere performance of actions, rituals. What does it mean? There is no requirement of jnanam at all for moksha. Don't take it seriously. This is the view of a karmakandi, vidarthavadi. Okay. And for which, see, whenever these Vaidikas, they state something, they have to prove how they are right. Okay? At present, the argument. So they also have to quote from somewhere, na? Veda is the main source of support. Therefore, they quote. Okay? And if other than Veda, we have Smriti. Shruti or Smriti. They must state where Veda says or Smriti says. What Shruti says and what Smriti says. Therefore, here there's a statement is given from Manusmriti in support of their view that moksha is attainable as a result of mere performance of karma. They present a statement from Manusmriti. Look at this. Samasta Vedartha Jnanavataha Karmadhikarat. Karma Adhikaraha. Karma Adhikaraha means what? Eligibility to perform rituals. Eligibility to perform rituals is Karma Adhikaraha, Karmani Adhikaraha, Karma Adhikaraha, eligibility, qualification is Adhikaraha. Not like in Tamil, what we say in Tamil. Adhikaraha is qualification or eligibility. So being eligible is having the right also. Being eligible to perform a ritual is what? Having the right to perform the ritual. Isn't it? Okay. So, there is eligibility, qualification for performing a ritual. For whom, who has this eligibility? Who is the one who has eligibility for performing a ritual? He says, Samasta Vedartha Jnana Vataha. Samasta means entire. Vedartha meaning of the meanings of the Veda mantras. Jnanavan, one who has the knowledge. Samastasya Vedasya Artha Jnanavan. Samastasya Vedasya Artha Jnanavan. Samasta Vedartha Jnanavan. The person who is endowed with the knowledge of the meanings of the entire Veda. Samasta Vedartha Jnanavan. Samasta Vedartha Jnanavan, nominative case. Samasta Vedartha Jnanavataha Karmadhikaraha Asti. There is the eligibility to perform a ritual only for a person who has the knowledge of the meanings of the mantras, entire Veda. So entire Veda means what? karma kanda jnanam. He must know, the person who is eligible to parama ritual must have the knowledge of the meanings of all the mantras of karma kanda, upasana kanda, jnana kanda also. Which means the person, the performer of rituals, the person who is qualified to perform the rituals must have the knowledge of the Upanishads also. So that is, and this eligibility is authorized by whom? who is eligible? Smriti says, it's a quotation here. Vedaha kritsnaha adhigantavyaha. So, Vedaha kritsnaha vedaha adhigantavyaha. Sarahasyaha dvijanmana. See, dvijaha dvijanma means abrahmanaha. Dvijanmana means the person who has been initiated into who has gone through the Upanayana samskara also. Anyway, I don't want to get into all those troubles. Okay? Dvijanmana Veda Kritsnaha Vedaha Adigantavyaha Sarahasyaha. What does it mean? Entire Veda must be understood, must be known along with all the meanings, hidden there. So, sarahasyaha means what? The entire Veda must be known, understood, along with all the hidden secrets, hidden meanings. Not secret, hidden meanings. Sarahasyaha. Sarahasyaha means what? Along with all the hidden meanings. The entire Veda must be studied, understood by a Brahmana, by Dvijanma. He alone is eligible to perform rituals. So this samasta Krishnaha Vedaha means entire. So samasta Vedartha Jnanavan is equal to Krishna Vedartha Jnanavan. The person who has studied Veda, understood the meanings also entirely, means all three khandas must have been studied by him, understood by him. If the person studied the Upanishads, means he must have definitely understood what? The truth also, reality. He must be a Brahmajnani also. Isn't it? So, yente samasta Vedartha Jnanavan, Krishna Vedartha Jnanavan, must have studied Upanishads also. He must have understood the meanings also. He must have understood Brahma reality. He must have understood his own Swarupam also. He must be Atmajnani, Brahmajnani also. So Smriti says, by any Brahmana who performs rituals, is eligible to perform the ritual, if he has studied the entire Veda along with all the hidden meanings. It is manusmarana. It is smaranat. It is smaranat means, as this is the statement given, taken from this smriti. According to this smriti statement, that the entire Veda must be understood, known, studied by a Brahmana along with all the hidden meanings, means the is understood, the eligibility to perform a ritual is there only for a person who has understood, who is endowed with the knowledge of the meanings of the entire Veda Shastram. Okay. From here, what he wants to say, this he starts his, this is the the first view is presented, we are still seeing the Pura Pakshi's view only. Adhigamascha Saha Upanishadarthena Atma Jnanadina. Therefore, what he says, as he must study the entire Veda, along with the meanings, he says, Adhigamaha cha. Definitely, there must be an understanding, Adhigamaha. And there is an understanding of all the Veda mantras along with their meanings. So, Saha Upanishadarthena. Atma Jnanadina Adhigamascha. Definitely there must be an understanding on the part of the person, the Brahmana, along with the meanings of the Upanishads, such as Atma Jnanam, etc. In fact, after Atma Jnanam, Adina, etc. should not be there. The person must have the knowledge of all the Upanishads also, including the Atma Jnanam, if he said finished. Atma Jnanam, etc. means what? In Upanishad, nothing else is there. Only Atma Jnanam is subject matter of the Upanishads. Therefore, so this person who is said to be eligible to perform the rituals has the knowledge of the entire Veda, all the mantras. He must have known the meanings of all the mantras. All the mantras include the mantras contained in the Upanishads also. Therefore, this person must have the knowledge of the mantras contained in the Upanishads also. Therefore, he must have even the self-knowledge, Atma Jnanam. So, Atma Jnani is the performer of the rituals. And again, same statements of Smriti. Vidwan Yajate. Vidwan means here he takes as an Atmajnani, Brahmajnani. A wise person who has discovered the truth is also Vidwan. So one must have studied Upanishads, understood the meanings of Upanishads with proper analysis, one understood, attained self-knowledge. Therefore, the person attained self-knowledge, Vidwan Yajate, he performs rituals. And Vidwan Yajayati. And Samastha Vedartha Jnanavan, definitely Upanishad Jnanavan also. Therefore, he is Atma Jnanavan and he performs rituals. Vidwan, not only he performs rituals, he makes others also perform rituals. Vidwan yajayati, swayam yajate anyan yajayati. He makes others also perform. So yajate, yajayati is a causative verb. Anyan yajayati, he makes others perform. Anyan yajayati. Iticha vidushaha eva karmani adhikaraha pradashyate sarvatra. Vidushaha eva karmani adhikaraha pradashyate. So only for vidushaha, only for a wise person, only for Atmajnani, who has the self-knowledge, who has knowledge of the truth, who has knowledge of all the mantras of entire Veda, only for him eligibility in performing rituals is shown. Everywhere. சர்வத்ர அதிகார கர்மணி அதிகாரா விதுஷக ஏவ பிரதர்ஷியதே. எவ்ரிவேர் தி எலிஜிபிலிட்டி ஃபார் பர்ஃபார்மிங் ரிச்சுவல்ஸ் இஸ் ஷோன் ஒன்லி ஃபார் அ வைஸ் பர்சன் ஹூ ஹேஸ் ஆத்ம ஜானம், ஹூ ஹேஸ் பிரம்ம ஜானம், ஹூ ஹேஸ் நாலெட்ஜ் ஆஃப் தி மீனிங்ஸ் ஆஃப் என்டையர் வேதம், ஆல் தி வேதமந்திரஸ் வேதாஸ். தேர்ஃபோர் ஜ்ஞாத்வாச்ச அனுஷ்டானம், ஜ்ஞாத்வாச்ச அனுஷ்டானம் இதி. அகெய்ன் ஸ்டேட்மெண்ட் இஸ் செட் வாட் அனுஷ்டானம், பர்ஃபார்மன்ஸ் ஆஃப் எனிதிங் அண்ட் எவ்ரி திங் மஸ்ட் பி ஓன்லி ஆஃப்டர் ஹேவிங் அண்டர்ஸ்டுட், ஆஃப்டர் ஹேவிங் தி அட்டைன் தி நாலெட்ஜ். ஜ்ஞாத்வா அனுஷ்டானம், வித்தவுட் நோயிங் ஒன் ஷுட் நாட் டூ, பிஃபோர் டூயிங் இட்ஸ் ஒன் மஸ்ட் நோ. ஜ்ஞாத்வா அனுஷ்டானம், அனுஷ்டானம் ஒன்லி ஆஃப்டர் நோயிங், பிஃபோர் ஒன் மஸ்ட் ஃபாலோ ஆஃப்டர் நோயிங் எவ்ரி திங், ஆஃப்டர் நோயிங் தி ட்ரூத் ஆர் நோயிங் எவ்ரி திங். தேர்ஃபோர் வாட் டஸ் இட் மீன் இஸ் அ பூர்வ பக்ஷிஸ் வியூ அலோன் வி அண்டர்ஸ்டுட், தி ஃபர்ஸ்ட் வியூ அண்டர்ஸ்டுட். Because of such statements of the Smriti, it's very clear what now. If one must have studied the entire Veda to be eligible to perform rituals, one must have had attained Jnanam also to perform rituals. Which means, if a person attains Jnanam and he becomes what? He becomes purified. Jnanam purifies the person. As a purified person, he becomes eligible for performing the ritual. Completely diagonally opposite. We say perform karma for mental purification to attain jnanam. And they say attain jnanam, you become pure, and as a purified person, you can perform ritual. It's called jnanam is taken to be yajana samskara. They take jnanam as a yajana samskara. Means what? They take jnanam as the refining means for a person to perform ritual. Get it? Okay. If we stop here, we'll continue tomorrow. Okay. Om பூர்ணமத பூர்ணமிதம் பூர்ணாத் பூர்ணமுதச்யதே பூர்ணஸ்ய பூர்ணமாதாய பூர்ணமேவாவசிஷ்யதே. ஓம் சாந்தி சாந்தி சாந்தி. ஹரி ஓம் தத்சத். ஸ்ரீ குருப்யோ நமஹ. ஹரி ஓம்.